Great to have your company on Racing Pulse, live from Flemington the day before Rapid Racing takes charge. If you're not doing anything tomorrow afternoon, it's going to be a beautiful day again, 30 plus. Come out, have a few beverages, a hit and giggle, 3-hour race day. 30-minute gaps between them, all down the famous Flemington Straight. Lee Jordan, Racing's General Manager here at the VRC, joins us. Lee, good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning, Michael. And as you said, yeah, come on down tomorrow. There's happy hour to kick off, so you get half-price drinks. That's a good way to start off, and plenty
can
of activities.
Can we extend that out
the...
a little bit, more than an hour?
Well, yeah, maybe after the last one, I could actually have one. I'll have to talk to the marketing area about that to get their timing right. But, no, it's a great day. And, look, you know, it's the third running of Rapid Racing. We've sort of been hit around a little bit with COVID, but so has everything else. I mean, the first year we did it was on a Sunday in February. Then we thought we should give Friday Twilights a go, which we did last year. We were in the back end of January, which was out of school holidays. We were impacted by COVID. 50 mils of rain in the morning didn't help. Then this year we brought the race back, so it's actually in school holidays. So hopefully you can get some families and some people coming along. As you said, a great day. So we're still, you know, in the early stages of the concept, and I'm sure there's plenty of ways we can go with this, you know, in the coming years.
One thing that does look positive, they're restricted races, but gee, the fields have held up really well, and there's a few promising horses, and when you've got the best jockeys all heading down the straight each and every race, you'd be happy with the overall number of runners.
Yeah, I mean, this time of year, there's a lot of, as you know, we had Sandown yesterday, we've got the Valley tomorrow. I looked at, you know, our field sizes are around 12, which is up on Sandown yesterday and the Valley tomorrow, which is great.
Saturday,
which is great, really, considering the concept. And as you said, I mean, you know, Red Hawk, Tony and Kelvin McAvoy's horse in race 6 looks an exciting sort of prospect. Some good stories too. Like, you know, we see on this day a lot of trainers that we don't normally see at Flemington, gives them the opportunity to win a race at Flemington, and owners that, you know, haven't had a runner here at Flemington to the chance. I mean, you know, like an up and coming trainer like a Glenn Cross in the first race, he's got the services of Jamie Carr, which is great. You know, it's also gives the opportunity for people to match up, which they probably would never do under other circumstances. And, you know, a jockey like Will Gordon in the country ranks, big opportunity for him. You know, never ridden at Flemington, never ridden a winner here, to give his chance as well. You know, a great story in race 6, a good yarn trained by Mervyn McKenzie from Warrnambool. I think he's about 80.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be great if he could win at Flemington? I mean, what a story that would be. So it really opens up the day we've got some really good horses, but some other good stories that hopefully emerge, and there's it gives everyone a chance. As you said, racing down the straight, 7 races, 30-minute gaps. It's a 3-hour program. And, you know, Michael, you know, on a Saturday we're 5-hour programs. And it's a thing with the sport. We have to keep looking at how can we make it more attractive for, you know, people that go generally, but also new people coming, to offer a 5-hour program. It's tough. This is a 3-hour Titan program, a lot of action. And hopefully the way the concept is pitched, it's looking at people that, you know, may not necessarily come to the races or may have a little bit of an outside interest, that they can see, gee, this is something a bit different. It's a shorter program, plus also the team concept. So they don't have to get right into the form. They can just follow the teams. And we've seen the last 2 years being close, right up to the last race. Country have led, and Metro have knocked them off in the last race. So it's been quite close. And that's what we're trying to aim at, trying to just get that person that might be on the fringe or someone that's not quite interested to have a look at this. It's something a bit different.
SMS asking, public transport tomorrow. Do you know if that's on?
You've caught me
we'll get word on that as well. You've got to innovate. Racing needs to innovate. They say if you stand still, you go backwards. So, you know, racing's a game where people knock things generally before they give it a go. But I like the idea of the Friday afternoon. Now, the reason it finishes at 6 o'clock, is that because of the sun setting issue you have here at Flemington down the straight?
Yeah, we're working on building a set of 24 floor flats at the top of the straight. Unfortunately, where the sun sets during summer is right at the top of the straight. And, you know, 3 or 4 years ago, we went through an exercise with the jockeys, you know, Damien Oliver, Damien Lane, the top line jockeys, to look at the sunset. And we thought we had it sort of under control, but last year when they rode at one of our meetings. We had the sun setting there, and it was an issue, and we can't go past 6 o'clock. So I'm fine with that, because we've got to look after jockey safety, and that's the way it is. So the program is 3 till 6. That's the reason why we can't go after 6 o'clock.
The summer series rejig, I think, has worked really well, culminating with the Standish on Saturday, which had a good field. And before you know it, we're looking at the autumn features. And just before, we were talking about some of the horses that'll be here at Flemington. And, gee, if you have a look at the market, the early market for the Black Caviar Lightning Stakes, it could be one of the best races we see all year if it comes to fruition. Nature Strip, Eduardo, Home Affairs, Gitra, Mask Crusader, the American Horse Golden Pal that Matt Stewart was talking about, Profiteer, Artorias, Andre Vier. Have you spoken to Team Waller? Do you know if both Nature Strip and Home Affairs will come, or will he split them?
Well, I know Nature Strip is definitely on that path. Now, whether he knows, he trialled, so we just have to wait and see on him. Eduardo, I know the connections are looking at booking a room, etc., so that's great. But as you said, I mean, Gitra, all the other horses you rolled off, I mean, it looks like the race of the autumn. It's going to be sensational. So, you know, and that leads into those horses also going on to the new market as well. And, you know, there's already a few horses lined up aiming at the new market. And, you know, that leads us into our other Group 1 majors in that period, being the Australia Cup. It's 160th running of the Australia Cup this year, which is fantastic. A time-honoured event.
It would be nice if it was maybe positioned post the All-Star Mile, do you think?
Yeah. No, well, our club's been very firm on our position all the way along for 12 months odd, is that the Australia Cup needs to be after the All-Star Mile. I mean, you wouldn't find anywhere else in the world, Michael, where a Group 1 2,000 metre race of its standing is leading into a mile race. It doesn't happen. So I know Racing Victoria are looking at it, addressing it, but it just needs to follow that. It's logic. And, you know, we've got a Group 1 race. We have to support the pattern. And the pattern is the Australia Cup is a Group 1 major race in autumn. So, it has to be worked out. It could have been worked out this year, but we need to work with Racing Victoria.
Why wasn't it worked out this year? I don't know. The excuse that it was too...
It's a question you need to ask Racing Victoria. We could see that the Australia Cup could have come afterwards, so it's not to be. So we have to... You know, the race is on our doorstep now, so we need to move on and work on it and make sure that we get a great field. But it's 160th running of the race. It's been a great race. I mean, you think about some of the horses that have won the race. You go back to Maccabi Diva and Saintly and Fiorente, Shocking, Octagonal, all those sorts of horses. So it is a fantastic race, and we need to make sure that we support this race into the future. It's one of our Group 1 icons, and that's part of our aim at the VRC, is to support the Group 1 majors. They're our major races in the carnival, whether it be in autumn or spring.
Does it need more prize money? What's the level at the moment?
I think it does. It's 1.5 million. It's been stagnant at that for a while. I think it needs an injection of money. And I think, repositioning so that we can get horses flowing from the All-Star. I'm fine with the All-Star Mile concept. It's a good concept. There's no problems there. But we need to get the pattern right.
Well, the All-Star Mile has been a great concept, and it's been really good in its only three iterations, is it? This is the... I think they've done one circuit.
Yeah, we've done one, so yeah. This will be the fourth.
So, is the one difficulty of it is that it's floating on the fixture because it goes between the race courses, and therefore it is difficult to build that pattern?
It is, because when you have a race floating in that, it's right in the middle of some key races, all the Group 1 races here, and also at Melbourne Racing Club, and also at Moonee Valley Racing Club. Rotating it, it's hard to build a support program, because the races are going to each club. Therefore, you know, the support program of group and listed races all vary. So that is one of the issues, but I know Racing Victoria are very firm on the rotational basis, and that's fine. But we need to definitely work on the program and fix the pattern for this period.
Are you happy with everything else as far as autumn races here at Flemington, and even looking further advanced to the spring carnival?
Oh, I think happy, but also I think there's always room for changing a few things up, and I think the autumn definitely, and talking with Racing Vic, we'll definitely have a look at the autumn whole program across the three clubs for that period, and what can we make better, and definitely looking at the flow of races, etc. So that, I think the autumn's in play. And then for spring, obviously we have our 4 days of the carnival. We're always looking at doing little tweaks here and there, which we did last year, and building programs. We did a couple of swaps with putting some other races on Oaks Day. We put the Desirable Stakes on there, which was quite handy. We had Espionia winning, which future superstar of the turf. So we're sort of building that Oaks Day up with some more fillies and mares races, and the English Bracelet I think is building. We need to do a little bit more with that, and then I think the final day is probably our growth day. I think the final day is where we can really have some growth. So we're, even though the dates are sort of set, we're not just sort of set in stone and just sitting there. We're constantly reviewing, and if we can do some things to build that and build Turnbull and Maccabi Diva Day, we will do.
You happy with the positioning of the Melbourne Cup on that race card? At around about the third last or fourth last race?
Yeah. Yes, whether we need 10 races on the day is probably another question. But I think where it sits around that 3 o'clock period is good at the moment. But we're always up for review. Same with Oaks Day. We did run it as a twilight meeting. Again, we've got this issue with the sunset. Yep. So we have to work around. But I think Oaks Day could be a much more punchier day with 30, 35-minute gaps. I mean, it's a real issue, isn't it, the gaps of races. 30-minute gaps... you see in Europe, 30-minute gaps are pretty standard, even in the US and whatever. Here we struggle because we can't get the national clock right. Mm. And, 40-minute gaps at this time of the year, it's too much.
It is.
It's too long. And the thing is, to get this doing, is we need cooperation from the other states. We just talked coming into the break, Racing Australia haven't met for like 12 months. So, but it needs the other states to cooperate and get together. Because, I mean, we don't want a situation if we're doing 30-minute gaps and the other states aren't and we're clashing everywhere. It's not good for the customer. But it's also not good for the customer having 40-minute gaps. So we really need to work hard on that.
Last one, quick one. Former life, you were the international scout for Racing Victoria. Will we see more internationals this spring carnival?
I think so. I know Racing Victoria are doing a review of the protocols that were introduced last year and not preempting any sort of results to come out of that. We're obviously involved with it, but maybe there's a way of getting the same result from a horse perspective in its health without maybe the rigors that were applied this year. So I think if that could be achieved somehow, then it may make it, not saying easier, but may make it a more palatable pathway to come to Australia. We need to be careful. We don't want to lose our international status. Yep. I mean, I know obviously from a local perspective, we want local horses to run and win in the race, but we've got to be mindful that we hold a position on the world stage, and we have to maintain that position for a whole range of things, of our status, of our racing on the world stage. Have a look at Singapore. They lost their whole international carnival and their racing is going downhill. That's a great example of lose international racing and look where your racing goes. You know, it's bloodstock investment, turnover, tourism, the whole range of things that flow off that. So we just have to find the balance.
Lee, good luck tomorrow. Enjoy rapid racing.
Thanks, Michael.
Put your card on the bar too. We'll extend that happy hour. We'll take a quick break. Will Hayes up next.